Well said.
Yeah, I thought so. So here we are, ready to record. Busy news week. We had GDC and a lot of other news.
Yes.
People leaving companies, joining Atari. That
maybe.
Kind of thing. Maybe. Yeah. All right. Why don't you get down to it?
You want to do the rest of the rundown?
I guess.
Tradition
if
sake.
I must.
You must.
Okay, start with news. Then we're going to go on to the best ever. They're going to talk about our week in gaming, talk about the downloadable games release this week, the retail game releases, and then the 4-in-1 on 4-in-1. And that'll be the whole show.
All right. Well, we'll get into the non-GDC stuff to begin. First, somewhat gaming related, the format wars are over, and HD DVD has died a painful death.
So what are you going to do with your HD DVD hard drive for your 360?
Well, actually, it's kind of handy right now because I have your broken Xbox hooked up to my TV upstairs to kind of act as a media center extender. And I could, since the DVD drive and that's busted, I could watch DVDs and that.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so it's not going to complete lack of use. And I could still watch Batman Begins on it, which is, you know, plus 10 points in my book.
Yeah, and King Kong.
Yeah.
Have you even watched King Kong?
I flipped through it a bit just
to
check
out.
Like, I like the V-Rex battle.
Yeah, I watch cool scenes, but that's about it.
Yeah.
The V-Rex.
But, Toshiba officially announced they're pulling out, they're ceasing production, they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars. Microsoft has ceased manufacturing of the HD DVD drives. They'll continue to support them. And several retailers have begun selling the drives for $50. So if you want to buy some now obsolete hardware, Amazon and various other outlets are selling HD DVDs pretty cheap, too. If you really want, you can go get it.
So it did not take long for these HD DVDs to go on clearance.
Or, no.
I mean, it was a swift and painless death.
See, we were too young for the whole VHS Betamax.
I don't even remember.
They were like VHSs, but smaller. I just really wonder how closely this all mirrors that. Like if Betamaxes went on a fire sale like right away.
I don't even remember that at all. When was that?
I don't know. The only Betamax I ever remember watching was we had one that had like three Mickey Mouse shorts on it.
I do remember that.
The one with the boomerang and Pluto.
I think we might have had Fantasia in Betamax.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Because I remember we always had a copy of Fantasia when I was young, and I wanted to watch it, and Mom was always like, no, you can't. I was like, why not?
So, I don't know how much you care about this. I'm kind of excited.
Let's see.
Project Red has announced that they're going to re-release The Witcher in May as a kind of like updated, not really director's cut, but just kind of, well, for one, they're fixing a lot of problems with the game. They're going to enhance the engine. And they're also going, like, I guess a lot of content got cut from the American version, whether it was for censorship or what, but they're going to add it all back in.
Do you even play that much of The Witcher?
Well, no, because I thought I was getting a new video card, because it kind of runs okay on my computer.
Right.
But I'll get to that in a minute about video cards. But
oh, goody.
I know how much you love that. But the cool, like, in addition to this coming out in May, when it does come out, it will also be a free update to existing owners of the game.
Oh, that's good.
So I almost feel like I may as well wait till this comes out to play.
Yeah.
GameSpy is launching direct to game. Have you ever heard of GameSpy's direct to drive?
Wait, I think I might have. Isn't that just a download service?
Yeah, it's their digital distribution
right.
front. Well, what direct to game is going to be is it's just like their game server browsing API that developers can put in their game. You could put this API into your game as an in-game way of selling DLC.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of is a bummer, because usually DLC on PCs was cheap because it really wasn't a way to charge for it.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of a bad thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Good for developers and publishers, I guess.
I thought that was like one of the incentives of PC gaming, was kind of free DLC.
Free stuff.
Yeah.
Well, play Valve games, because they always say they'll never charge for DLC.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, speaking of charging for DLC, an Eye of Judgment expansion is coming in spring. Now, to me, you'd think you just buy the new cards, but you also have to pay for and download the expansion.
Oh.
So even like if you buy the new cards, you can't use them until you purchase the expansion off of the PSN and download it.
Well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, they need, I guess, the data. Like,
yeah, but why
you can't put the data for a 3D model just on a card, can you?
Well, no. Well, you could. Well, you're going to be able to play if you don't buy the expansion, you can still play online with people who own the expansion. It's all getting patched in.
I don't know. I don't know the particulars of this sort of thing and how it works.
You would just think that the price, like, I could see putting, you have to download something, obviously, but you think the price of the cards is covering that cost. It's like you're basically buying the expansion twice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well, you know, it's Eye of Judgment. It's weird.
Yeah. Now, what? I don't know if you read this. Wild Tangent unveiled Orb. This was a little bit before GDC, and I understand they talked more about it at GDC, but not a lot of people seem to report more on it. It's going to be a portal for console games on the PC. Console games being defined as Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 games. You'll download and play the game in its entirety, or you can get it for like play sessions, which you can pay for either via tokens or for free by watching ads. THQ and Sierra have signed on so far. Sierra promises to bring titles to the service day and date with console launches. So it's basically, I guess it's like a program that would be the equivalent of like the Xbox 360 dashboard opening up on your computer, and it's just like then launches games like it's a console.
Isn't this kind of like GameTap?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Actually, that might be a good way of looking at it. But more for more current games, I guess.
Okay, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Making PC gaming more like console gaming, I don't think, is the answer.
That's not the way to save it. What might be the way to save it is a couple of companies have come together. I didn't write this one down, and our internet's not working, so I can't go look this up. But they're basically forming an alliance, all these various publishers, developers, and hardware companies, with the intention of saving PC gaming. One of the first steps being taken is NVIDIA, who's a partner in this, has released their 9000 series of video cards. But rather than coming out with like the $600, $700 card that like no one can afford except the people who bought that same card like 6 months ago, they came out with the $200 model to launch the series, which is kind of unique. They've never really done that before. So the 9600 GTs are out now. I just saw they were sold out, but they had like the shelf space for them at Best Buy this weekend, I saw. And then I guess later they'll come out with, like, I guess it would be the 9800 GTS or whatever. It's the really big one.
I guess it's nice of NVIDIA to try to save PC gaming, since I think they're partly responsible for its downfall.
I completely agree. when the video card alone costs as much as the PS3 did at launch, yeah, never mind the rest of the PC.
I mean, I haven't upgraded my video card. I never do. Usually I just buy a new computer at that point.
Yeah. But I mean, but would you be willing to upgrade your video card if it only cost you $200?
Even at that, me personally, probably not. I would not be willing to. I don't know.
It's certainly more. It's more a more viable option, I think.
I have not seen a PC game that, first off, is only a PC game, and second off, would require a kind of an upgrade that would really push me to do one.
Not Crysis?
No, it's just a first-person shooter.
Okay.
I mean, I guess aesthetically it's there, but it's not interesting enough.
Right. See, I would want it for The Witcher, and I wouldn't mind getting some better performance out of, like, my Source Engine games.
I'm fine with my Source Engine games. I mean, I don't know. I just am not motivated to upgrade. I haven't been for a long time.
I could turn all the fancy shader effects and audio surf with it.
There's fancy shader effects and audio surf?
Yeah. I mean, I turn all that off because right now I just need the frame rate, but if I could get them both.
Right.
Last pre-GDC news item. EA tried to buy Take-Two for approximately $2 billion. They went so far as to make a website that made their proposal to purchase Take-Two very public. I guess their thought was, because they kind of expected Take-Two's board to reject the offer, but if all the investors saw that, they demand it. But
not quite.
Well, for one, they didn't. And also, as a result of the announcement...
Wait, who didn't what?
Take-Two's investors didn't really do anything.
Okay.
And as a result of the announcement, Take-Two's stock has jumped to equal the asking price of what EA was going to take them for. So now, even if EA did want to buy, they'd now have to offer more money. So I think really the whole making it a public thing really backfired for EA.
Right.
That was probably a bad idea.
Not What did they want Take-Two so badly for?
They want sports? Everybody. Well, now the rumors are that they're looking towards Ubisoft.
Well, that's confusing to me. I mean, aren't Ubisoft and Take-Two, like, maybe after EA, the biggest companies, like, third-party-wise?
Yeah, that's why they want to just absorb them and not have to compete. Rick Catello has been talking a lot in the past about how this was EA's strategy in the past, but they were bad at it, which is why you had studios like Westwood who is Molyneux's company? Leapfrog? Is that right? Am I making that up?
Lionhead?
No, it's still Lionhead now. Or is Lionhead dead? No, Lionhead is his new company.
Oh, I didn't know he had an old company.
And Origin. They pretty much killed them. And he's saying, we're going to do the same thing again, but we're not going to suck at it. And he seems to think that this is inevitable. This is the way it's going to be, that everything's just going to get absorbed into these big companies, which is kind of a bummer to think about. It's kind of a grim...
Well, every Western kind of company.
Right.
Well, what, I guess Ubisoft's European,
yeah.
I wonder, it'd be interesting if they ever showed, like, interest in, like, Capcom or Namco.
Oh, God.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be weird.
Yeah. That can't happen, can it?
No. I highly doubt that.
I wonder if it's going to get to the point where we have, like, one big Eastern company and one big Western company. We have, like, EA, Ubisoft, or whatever they'll call it.
Yeah.
We got Capcom, Namco, Konami of Japan.
So
EA's trying to take over the world.
Let's go to GDC, shall we?
I guess so.
So Nintendo and Sony didn't really have, like, a big press conference or anything. Microsoft did. So let's get the obvious out of the way. To no one's surprise, Gears of War 2 confirmed for November.
With the pretty lame teaser trailer, I have to say.
Dang.
What's your defense for it?
There is no defense. I mean, it's lame, but it didn't have to be anything big. They could have, honestly.
Why not?
I think it was probably just enough to have Cliffy Bleszinski come out with the Lancer and just say, yeah, we're making Gears of War 2. It's coming out in November.
For me, it honestly has a reverse effect, though, because I see that. It's practically nothing. It looks exactly like the first game. The only new feature they can tout is, chainsaw battles.
Well, did you see the videos of the enhancements to the Unreal Engine that are being used in the game? They had footage to show.
Of what? Gears of War 2?
I don't know if it was out of the game or if it was more just stuff built for technical demonstration.
Well, whatever.
Showing off new water effects. They had this cube of meat for some reason. Like this, like, kind of mercury ball.
Those are tech demos. I mean, you know, I want to
supposedly they've been working on this game since before Gears 1 was
finished. Well, that's my thing. If this game's coming out this November, I want to see a little bit more.
Fair enough.
I mean, God. I mean, right now I'm worried that... Not worried. I'm expecting it to pretty much be Gears of War Part 2, not Gears of War 2.
Gears of War 1.5, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, which is, you know... Pack.
Which wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, yeah, I like
that's how, I mean, that's how a lot of people do it. And, you know, if they want to own up to that, that's fine. But I just hope they're not going to promise something different.
Right. Fair enough. So, other games we got to see, Ninja Gaiden 2, which was revealed to have a kind of save films feature akin to Halo 3.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm sure some people like that.
Is this going to be something we're going to see, like, put into every game for no reason now?
It's possible. Hey, why not?
Whatever.
We also got to see a lot of Fable 2 at the show. They showed off their single-screen co-op.
Yeah, I'm glad it has co-op.
Yeah, I think that's cool. They show off a bit more of the one-button combat, the way consequences work in the game, like Molyneux's now famous demo of his in-game character's husband getting shot for yelling at him, which I thought was kind of funny, if not morbid.
You said famous? I never heard about this.
I said, well, didn't you watch the press conference?
No, I didn't have internet.
Oh, right. Well, okay, then I'll go through real quick. He was showing off. He had a female character he'd made, and, like, one of the other guys in the game was playing as this guy. After they fought some monsters for a while, they went to Molyneux's character's house, where he had his, you know, in-game female character had a husband and son. I guess she'd been gone for 6 months. So she gets home. The little boy comes running out all excited she's back. The husband comes out and just starts bitching at her. How dare you leave for so long? Leave me alone with the boy. We had no money, blah, blah, blah. And while he was on this tirade, the second player just pulls out his gun and shoots the husband, which now orphans the kid. So it means the kid, once she leaves the property, the kid will get transferred to an orphanage.
That's horrible.
I know, it's terrible, but it's just, it's interesting that they're kind of taking, because, I mean, there were all these promises of stuff like that in Fable 1, and it never materialized, so it's good to see it's finally coming.
Yeah, but what experience has taught me is that we see this kind of thing, and it's like, oh man, if they show this, just imagine all the other small little things will be in the game, and then you play the game, and like, this is in there and not much else.
I think the world has learned, and I think Peter Molyneux is aware of this now, too. He's like a great salesman. he promises you the like the sky and more, and then the games come out and they're good, but they're not what he said they were going to be. And I think everyone's finally wised up to that. Everyone's saying taking the approach of, well, that's great, but I'll believe it when I play the right. game.
Like with Fable 1, like he always like showed the feature. He always showed how if you were bad, like people in the village would run away with you. And if you were good, they'd come up to you, and you would. You showed you that, and you think, oh man, so being good and evil is going to being good or evil is going to have some consequences. But really, the extent of the consequences was people are going to run away from you, or people are going to come up and cheer.
Yeah, that's, and like, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's kind of shallow.
Right.
But nevertheless, what we've seen of the game, I'm trying to look at it objectively, looks good. Looks fine. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be... Fable 1 was a good game. Just wasn't fun. What Molly said it was going to be. They also revealed that one of his things he seems to be very proud of is that like monsters don't just like drop gold. The only ways to get gold in the game is you have to either sell stuff, get a job, or... You can buy the new XBLA game based on Fable 2's gambling system coming out months before the game's release and get gold that way.
Jeez, that's smart.
Yep. So basically it says you'll be able to have a hoard of treasure before you even buy the game. So I'm sure some people will get a kick out of that. So
is that going to kind of break the game?
Meh.
Meh, okay. Whatever.
So this has me excited. Jonathan Colton was up on stage performing. Then all of a sudden he pulled out a Rock Band guitar. And he was joined on stage by some staffers from Harmonix, and they confirmed, still alive, coming to Rock Band.
That's good. This was rumored. I mean, I hope this comes out sooner rather than later.
Well, I mean, they played it at the show. I watched the video of it, and there it was. I don't see what more they need to do to it. Maybe just a little more tweaking. Yeah. But the rumors I've heard are a price point of 99 cents for it, so.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yep, man.
On the subject of Portal, Kim Swift, who is one of the lead designers of the game, was being interviewed by X-Play when she let slip, I believe Doug Lombardi, who's our lead marketing director at Valve, has announced Portal 2, to which everyone said, really? You don't say.
Yeah.
Now, Lombardi did say that there would be more Portal. He wasn't clear if it was a sequel or just more levels or what, so maybe that's what she was talking about, so it's not really Portal 2. But is anyone surprised that they're not going to make more Portal?
There's going to be some Portal-ness going on soon again. It'll probably be something released with Episode 3, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, since like at this point, like I think Portal was such a high selling point for Episode 2 and Orangebox.
Yeah. I said it was funny to read how people were talking about how GDC 07 last year, Portal was like mentioned. It's just this kind of little footnote at the end of like talking about the Orangebox. And now it's like the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, it is. It's
funny to see how quickly things could change in a year. So they were also showing off Steven Spielberg's Boom Blocks. And one thing I took away that was pretty cool is remember that head tracking demonstration, that CMU grad student that he showed off?
Yeah.
Boom Blocks is going to have that.
Okay.
It's kind of a hidden Easter egg.
It's that thing where you kind of wear infrared sensors on your head and then
right.
Yeah, you put the Wiimote down and it like. You can actually use perspective on your TV.
Right.
Which is kind of gives off a 3D effect. It turns your TV screen into more of a window than like a screen.
Right, exactly. Which is cool. So, I mean, that's great that someone's finally doing it. I'm excited for that. Sony has promised a PSP native PlayStation store coming, so you don't need a PC or a PS3. You can just go right on and download stuff.
Oh, boy.
I don't see why that's so hard to do, since the PlayStation Store is just a web page.
So I can just like download a Patapon demo.
Yeah, but like I mean, the PlayStation Store is just a web page, and the PSP has a web browser. I don't see why that's taking so long. But whatever, it's coming. They also had shirts that said like in-shirt cross-media bar.
Right.
So either Sony is like cleverly saying, yeah, it's coming, or they're just being huge jerks.
Either way, I'm amused.
Yeah. So you were just saying, like, you just discovered it the other day about Echo Chrome.
Yeah, I hadn't really followed the game very much. I just saw a video.
So it's coming out, I believe, March for PSP and PS3 in Japan. It'll be a PSN download on the PS3, but the PSP version is a UMD. Well, they confirmed a summer release for the PS3 version in North America. PSP version is, quote, up in the air.
Oh, like, they may not do it, or?
I don't know. They haven't set a date, and they haven't really said much else about it, which... I, for one, understand why it has to be a UMD game. Why can't that be a downloadable, too?
Maybe it will. Maybe that's what they're thinking about.
Yeah. And this all leads up to Phil Harrison is leaving Sony.
No.
He just announced his resignation at the end of the week, and it will be effective February 29th.
So I've been hearing that Some of this might have to do with the fact that he's upset at Sony of Japan.
I have the quote.
But yeah, go ahead then.
This is what he said earlier in the week. "It's a very interesting and frustrating thing for me to experience because I have been banging the drum about social gaming for a long time with SingStar, iToy, and Buzz," he said during a private lunch taking place during GDC week. "And our Japanese colleagues said that there is no such thing as social gaming in Japan. People do not play games on the same sofa together in each other's homes. It will never happen. And then out comes the Wii." Which really makes me think what they're thinking at Sony of Japan then, because if they're saying that, then you think they'd have a more robust online strategy.
Yeah, I wonder what is their strategy?
I don't know. What? I don't think anybody knows. Maybe that's why he left.
Their strategy must be like a lot of single player games in a lot of single player games.
Right.
That seems to be their concern.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess he was frustrated. There's a rumor that he's going to Atari.
That is the rumor.
Interesting.
To take up their casual games division.
Well, you know what? Atari would be a good name to put on a company like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was back when gaming really was a casual thing.
Yeah. So I'll let you take this one. Persona 3 FES?
Yeah. FES stands for something like festival, by the way.
Right.
So I guess that what this is like a, quote, expansion pack for Persona 3, and it's $30, and the way it works is it's the standalone game with all this new content, like new personas, at least 30 hours of new gameplay, they said.
Mm-hmm.
And you either buy the game, buy this, you know, FES version of it, and you can start the whole game over there, or it'll recognize your save file if you have beaten the game on them. I don't even know if you had to beat the game, honestly, but it'll recognize your save file from Persona 3.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not screwed, which is good.
Oh, so like, I mean, it includes, for $30, you get all the original Persona 3 and this expansion cost in one game.
It is an amazing deal.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's surprising to see something like this come stateside, honestly.
Yeah, it's nice. It really is.
Square does this almost with every Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts game they release.
They just never bring them out here.
Yeah, they make, usually they're called the international versions.
On those versions, is the save file from the previous version still good, or do they have to start over?
No, usually you have to start over. Right. But see, what happens with Japan is that part of the reason they do that is because they'll release the games almost earlier than they should in Japan,
so that we fixed for America.
Yeah, we get extra content and tweaks, and then they bring the game out again with all the fixes.
It's a great way to pay people to beta test for you.
Yeah, but with even new stuff, like you know, their version of their international version of Final Fantasy XII had like a whole new like skill leveling system. It didn't have license board.
Yeah,
it had the Zodiac.
That's the Zodiac job system.
Yeah, Zodiac job system.
Which is what the subtitle was, right?
Yeah, something like that, Zodiac something, which, you know, I personally think is almost a mistake. But it'd be interesting to try that, how, like, you actually just give your characters jobs then.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Because, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there were rumors that the Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix Plus was going to come out here, which would have been cool.
Yeah, because I'm more interested for that because it had Chain of Memories as a 3D remake.
Yeah, I'm surprised that did not come out here.
I mean, it may yet.
Well, maybe. I'd like to see it.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's the skinny on FES.
Excellent. Anything else from GDC that stood out to you? I mean, there's a ton of stuff. It'd be impossible to talk about all of it here. But that was, I mean, for me, most of the highlights. Anything else that stuck out to you?
Geez. I mean, I know there's a lot of Street Fighter 4 shown.
Yeah.
People are saying it's very Street Fighter 2 reminiscent.
Which is good.
I guess. I can't think of anything. Other news, I don't know if this is news, but I know that I went to my GameStop to make sure they were having the midnight sale for Brawl, and they're going to have a tournament on Saturday.
Right, right.
So
I need to go see if I could switch my pre-order to that store.
Yeah, you can still do it all, but you just can't do it with us.
Yeah.
So you make sure you can switch it.
Yeah.
Because we have too many GameStops in our local area.
Three.
Yeah, but that's exciting because I'll be able to start playing Brawl on the 8th.
That is cool.
And that
is very cool.
And coming very soon.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God indeed.
Waiting really is the hardest part.
It is. Last time I've had this much anticipation was for Kingdom Hearts 2. I may have actually even, it's hard to say because that last month is the killer. For Kingdom Hearts 2, I was going crazy.
Right.
Like, I needed to play that game. Kingdom Hearts 2 looked, the trailers for that, it looked like the damn coolest game ever for me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, oh man, here's Tron. Just because, you know, all the flashy special moves and stuff, I love that sort of thing.
Right.
So, okay, yeah, I guess that's about it for news. I mean, that's a lot of
news.
All
right. Well, to the best ever.
Yeah, we had a big news day, so this is a silly best ever.
Oh,
but
boy.
What is the best ever failed Sega system.
Well, I think if you're going to talk failed Sega systems, you have the 32X, the Sega CD, the Saturn, and I guess you could say the Dreamcast, because technically it did fail.
Yeah.
So you see, you mean best as in which one had the best failure, or which one was the best that failed?
How about the latter? Best the latter? That failed.
Well, then I would say for sure the Dreamcast.
Okay, let's talk about, though, what did you like about the Sega CD?
Sonic CD.
I like Sonic CD.
Sonic CD is my favorite Sonic the Hedgehog game.
What about Street Shark or whatever? Sewer Shark. That came with it. Come on.
I want 1,000,000 pounds of tube steak.
I'll tell you what. That game
was awesome.
That game was weird. That game creeped me.
It was so strange.
There was something about all those like FMV games that creeped the hell out of me.
Night Trap and Corpse Killer.
They're all so weird. They're just weird. Like Corpse Killer, it's just freaky, don't you think? Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it.
It was the Uncanny Valley, sort of.
Yeah, it was. It was just...
I mean, it was real people, but it still just didn't look right. Yeah. Plus, it didn't help that they got, like, the worst actors they could find for all that
stuff.
Well,
you know, who are you going to get?
Yeah. So then the 32X, I mean, the best thing about that was Knuckles Chaotix, another Sonic game.
And yeah, since that one's not as good as Sega's... I mean, Sonic CD, I guess. Sonic CD beats...
Now, to be fair, 32X had a very good rendition of Virtua Racing. It had an excellent translation of the old Star Wars arcade game.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, that old Star Wars arcade game.
And it had very good versions of NBA Jam and World Series Baseball.
Yeah, but those are all games you could have got somewhere. There's good versions of them.
Right. Now, the ultimate was the 32X CD games that needed both, which Corpse Killer was one of them.
Was there any others?
There were a few. They mostly just made better quality FMVs.
Whatever. All right, Saturn. Which
has no Sonic.
Yeah, I was about to say, had no Sonic. Well, it had Sonic 3D Blast.
Which was good. That actually might be one of the shining points of the
Saturn.
Yeah,
that game takes a lot of shit these days.
What?
Sonic 3D Blast.
What's wrong? Oh, wait. I was thinking Sonic Jam. Sonic 3D Blast is terrible.
You know, I agree it's not great. I don't think it's quite as terrible as people make it out to
be. The problem was, I think it's a slower paced game that works, but you can't have that isometric fixed viewpoint and you're running around as Sonic. It just doesn't work. You don't have enough reaction time for anything.
True, but
the special stages were good.
It's kind of interesting, though, because it is a kind of a full-blown Sonic game that we just don't really talk about very much, you know? I mean, it had levels and all. It had flickies again.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me. I think if the game was more linear, it would have been better. The whole get the flickies and bring them to the circle thing.
Yeah.
That kind of style of gameplay almost never works for me. But Saturn had the Panzer Dragoon games.
Excellent games all.
Yeah, all of them. The Clockwork Knight games were fun. Knights was great. Some games, you know, these games...
These games have stood up decently well. Yeah.
Especially the 2D games. Like, remember Three Dirty Dwarves?
Oh, yeah.
That is a great game. That is a fun beat-em-up.
Which apparently, I just found out, is not as beloved universally as we...
Wait,
as we
no.
Like. I know.
Wait, what do you mean not...
Okay, well...
Who doesn't like Three Dirty Dwarves?
One-Up Retronauts podcast a few weeks ago did a Saturn episode. And it sounds like if you were into importing or a Japanese game, it was even better because apparently a lot of the best games for that system were Japanese only. But then at one point they were making fun of like saying like Japan gets all these great games and then what does Sega of America put out? Three Dirty Dwarves. And then they all kind of started making fun of that game. And I was sitting listening going, fuck you guys. That game's awesome.
Yeah. That game had a boss that was a building.
Yeah.
Screw them.
that game was great.
Go to hell.
You really
that
need to play
awesome.
That with two friends and just go through it all, because it was a blast. It was an absolute blast.
I was always the bowling guy.
I was getting down.
Yeah. Who were you? Were you the baseball guy? You were. Chris was the football guy.
Yeah. Great game.
Yeah, that was a great game. You can all go to hell if you don't like that game.
No, I was a shotgun guy. It was bowling, baseball, and shotgun.
But he had a football helmet on.
Yeah, he had the helmet.
That's why I said football.
Oh, okay.
He had a shotgun, yeah. There was one more Saturn game I wanted to bring up real quick. Oh, one that I never got to play, Burning Rangers.
Yeah.
I will get that game someday.
Someday, you should, yeah.
If I don't remember, next birthday, Burning Rangers, import.
Got it.
Okay, good.
Then the Dreamcast.
Yeah, the Dreamcast is great.
Oh, it was great. You had Sonic Adventure was good.
Phantasy Star Online was amazing.
Yeah, you had Samba de Amiga.
I mean, we did best Dreamcast game ever before. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, our feelings about the Dreamcast are well known.
So, yeah, of the four of those.
Probably Dreamcast.
Definitely the Dreamcast. It was great. It's just, I think it was a victim of bad timing, a lack of third-party games, and maybe
like, overhyped of the PS2.
Yeah,
which is strange because I had so much animosity for the PS2, like then for killing Dreamcast and for sucking at launch. But now, when you look back at the PS2, it can easily be made that an argument that it is the best software library of any.
Right. Well, I mean, not at launch.
No, it's a bad launch.
Is pretty abysmal.
I had a bad launch, but I mean, I'm playing a PS2 game right now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Religiously, so it's hard to say something bad about that system anymore.
I think part of the Dreamcast problem is, you know, it's funny to me how gamers cry out for innovation. We want innovation, and that's pretty much all the Dreamcast was, and it didn't sell.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it really was. Like, and look how uninnovative Sega has gotten.
Yeah, well, as a result, I mean, can you blame them?
No. I mean, if they make a bad Sonic game and it sells, you know, as well as it does, what the hell is their motivation?
Yeah, exactly. We gamers are to blame.
Or, yeah, to an extent. Oh, yeah, all you people who buy Sonic games still, you are the problem.
Yeah, don't buy them. They're bad. Get the Sonic Chronicles for DS, but that's it.
Don't let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm still not completely sold on that idea.
I'm just hoping.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hope.
Yeah.
But so you were talking about Sonic Jam though, which was for Saturn earlier when I said Sonic. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it was one of the good Sonic games on the Genesis.
Yeah. No, is Sonic CD your favorite Sonic game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that game because I love the Super Peel Out, which is in Brawl.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's like a taunt, but...
I know, but it's great.
It's great that it's referenced.
I just like... It looked cool to me, the whole figure eight thing, and now it's in there. I'm so happy.
I may, like... If you you know, the whole Sonic 3, Sonic & Knuckles combo, that might be better for me. I don't know. Mm. That has great level design.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I can accept that.
All right,
so the weekend gaming.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start.
Go ahead, fire up.
I mean, obviously, a lot of Persona 3.
Right.
I mean, you know... The game is repetitive, so I have nothing else to say. No, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Right, right, right.
So,
Diablo's repetitive, and I love that game.
Right,
so
I'm not going to say anything. I got Apollo Justice,
mm-hmm.
which is the fourth Phoenix Wright game, for you guys who don't know. And, you know, I'm loving it. Fun stuff. You know, it's like, I think someone else made this analogy, but the Phoenix Wright games, it's almost like a TV series or like a season of a TV show.
Uh-huh.
And that's all very similar. And, I mean, you know, it's almost just like... watching a detective drama or something like that, you know, it's almost like the same formula over and over again, but just, you know, it's comforting, it's fun, you enjoy it.
Right.
And, you know, and this game does have some new things. Like, actually, a lot of it is stuff that was in, remember the first Phoenix Wright when it was released on DS?
Mm-hmm.
It had that fifth trial.
That was like an actual DS trial?
Yeah, because it was added from the, it wasn't in the original GBA game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, now, first off, it's interesting not only that a lot of the concepts from that are back in, like, you have to actually take fingerprints by, putting down the powder
and
on, like...
dusting.
Yeah, and then you blow it off.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And you actually can view all your items in, like, a 3D model viewer, and you can find interesting things on them, too.
Right.
Like,
that's good.
Yeah, like, serial numbers, almost, kind of. There's also characters that were from that one case.
Oh, yeah?
That are actually in this game.
Like, that's cool.
There's, like, a girl who was, like, a 15-year-old girl that was, like... kind of your sidekick for that case, mm-hmm. and now she's a detective.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
Cool.
It's really neat how it kind of plays off a lot of the order things.
Yeah, well, the Phoenix Wright series has always been about good fan service.
Yeah, it is.
Which is cool.
And, you know, not even just Phoenix Wright fan service. Like, in the first case, there was a witness named Mrs. O'Reilly, O-R-L-Y, and the characters were like, "Oh, really, Miss O'Reilly?"
That's awesome.
Yeah, that kind of thing. You know, it's very silly. These games are very well written. It's interesting, though, because... Phoenix Wright's in the game, and he's almost become this, like, kind of cool sort of character,
mm-hmm.
like, silent almost, and Apollo Justice is pretty much Phoenix Wright
from the other games,
you know, which makes sense, because he's the rookie defense attorney, all that kind of thing, but, one interesting thing, they don't have Cyclops anymore, which I don't know if that means anything to you.
No.
It was a feature that was in the second and third games, where when you're doing the detective part, when you're outside of court... Like, people would have secrets, and you would have to kind of go into this thing where you would show them evidence to, like, break their psych locks and make them tell the truth.
Oh, okay.
That's not in here anymore, but a new feature that's in is called this perceive feature, where at any time during a person's testimony, you push this button, and, like, on the bottom screen, you see the character model in, like, a larger thing, and you're kind of moving your cursor around to find, like, twitches. Basically, it's like you're trying to find their tell for when they're lying.
Oh,
almost
okay.
Like kind of poker.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is a really neat kind of thing. And then when you... find it, you hold down the button and say, "Gotcha!" Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what. Yelling objection.
I know. I'm sitting down here the other night, and you're sitting on the couch just, "Hold it! Objection!" And not only are you doing it, but you say it the way you don't just say it, go objection. You actually go objection.
I'll tell you what, the voice that game has good voice recognition for a DS.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's limited in what it has to do.
You know, it actually, I think it picks up the syllables more than anything. Because one time, just for fun, I was like, instead of saying hold it, I was like, blah, blah.
Probably like, what it does, like, yeah.
All right.
Because there's only, what, like three or four voice commands in there, right?
Yeah, hold it, objection, take that, and now gotcha.
All right.
Now we got to do it. I love these games. Honestly, I hope they keep making them till the end of time.
Yeah. It's good that the fourth one even came. Like, after Capcom was threatening that they wouldn't release it here unless the third game had good sales.
Yeah, but they were just saying, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I mean, it's almost a miracle that we have this series over here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was surprised. After I played Phoenix Wright 1, I was, like, actually compelled for the first time ever to write Capcom and say, you have to bring the rest of the series
over.
Yeah, I actually wrote them and said, you have to do this.
Cool.
Like, and, you know, I don't get that passionate very often.
Right, you don't.
So, I mean, I've been very happy to see this franchise kind of, I mean, it really is to me kind of a revival of
the old point-and-click adventures.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's different. It has its own twist, which is great. And you I know you guys just haven't had a chance, so I don't blame you for not playing them, but I hope you can get the chance.
Well, if you could get back the Fixer copy of the first one, yeah, I'll go through them happily.
Yeah, I mean, they're great games.
Well, I had a fantastic week in gaming, thanks in no small part to the efforts of yourself, Chris, and my girlfriend, Catherine, who, for my birthday this past Friday, you all three pulled together and got me a new Xbox.
Yeah, so you have an Xbox
again. So I have an Xbox again.
Which is
good. Woo!
Which is good.
And in addition to the
Hasn't
Xbox.
Hasn't been stolen yet.
I know, it's great. The security system's working.
I have to say, I think I picked out some very good software for
yes.
you.
Yes.
I was proud
first
of myself.
The first game you guys got me, and this kind of goes along with your game, is also a DS adventure game, Professor Layton and the Mysterious Village.
You know, I just want to say, when people first saw the DS, they're like, oh man, maybe we'll see a revival of adventure games. I said, yeah, right. No way. But we kind of have.
It's finally starting, yeah.
You know, maybe not as we knew it.
Right.
Obviously, the genre needed to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, like, ever, it is evolving.
Right.
Since maybe Grim Fandango we're seeing evolution, which is nice.
Well, in this game, you're still pointing and clicking to get around, but instead of, like, logical puzzles, you literally are solving puzzles. Like, you know, how many, like, lines are in this drawing. I mean, stuff like that. Optical illusions, mathematical problems. I've never loved a game I hate so much. I mean, you hear me. You ask me how, you'll say, how's Professor Layton, Hedge guy? Fuck those people. Because you're going around. I just want to go in the door. Please step aside. Well, you look kind of shifty with your top hat, so solve this puzzle I've been cooking up. Literally, that's all these people in this town do. No wonder people are getting killed and treasures have gone missing because they're too busy sitting around drawing puzzles. And the thing of it, too, is like, I mean, I like it. It's fun. The puzzles are really fun, but some of them are friggin' hard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and if you don't get the, like there's ones where you're manipulating matchsticks to change the image. And I had to make this dog look like it got run over by a car in matchsticks. And I did it. But I did the leg was at the wrong angle. It wasn't until the third try that I put in the satisfactory answer. And I'm just sitting there pulling my hair out. I was like, fuck you, man. That is a dog that got run over. Look at it.
That seems like a pretty strange puzzle to begin with.
Right. Well, no, it was great. there was one puzzle where it was a ship is sinking with 15 people on board. The life raft can hold 5 people. There's an island, and it takes 8 minutes round trip to get to and from the island. So the ship is sinking. It'll sink in 15 minutes, and there's sharks infesting the water. So how many people will make it to the island? And after I did it all, only 13 of the 15 people make it. And at the end of the puzzle, like, they always explain the puzzles to you after you've beat them, which
right,
is neat.
That's cool.
So it's like, you know, it's saying, in case, like, you guessed at it, because sometimes you can guess and get it, or, like, your third guess will be right. So after it explains, it goes, a moment of silence for the two who didn't make it. Dot, dot, dot. I mean, the game has a great sense of humor. The art style is gorgeous.
That's hilarious.
It looks kind of like the Triplets of Belleville, which, while I hated that movie, I did appreciate the art style of it.
You're stupid for not liking that movie.
Yeah, I know. But, like, it's that art style. I really like it. It's very attractive. And, I mean, I like Professor Layton, the character. He's kind of cool. He's just like this, like, he's like polite to the point of being like almost sickening about it, but like in a cool way.
Yeah, he seems like a likable
Like he's
character.
Got the little kid with him, and the kid gets pissed at everybody for how rude they treat him. And he's like, "Not now, Luke. You must keep a cool head." And he's like, "Sorry, Professor."
I hope they make more of these.
Oh, I do too.
I haven't even played it, and I hope this series thrives.
One thing, I haven't tried it yet, but every week they release a new downloadable puzzle.
That's interesting. Is this the first case of downloadable content for the DS?
Yeah, and it's all free. So
cool beans.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a great game. You'll just want to kill everybody in this village. Like, I just want to go down the hall. Why won't you move?
Do you think it's like a long game? Are you getting close to some sort of conclusion, maybe?
Or? I'm in chapter 2. I have no idea how many chapters there are. Okay. Someone was just murdered.
Oh, no. It's sweet, though. Not the murder, but, you know.
So you got anything else, or should I keep going?
I just wanted to add that in Phoenix Wright, I mean, I keep wanting to call it Game Phoenix.
I know.
Apollo Justice. There was a part where I had to, like, do something with a sound mixer, like a soundboard, where I had like five different instrument parts, and I needed to listen to a song and find out when some band member missed their cue, and I had to find out who missed the cue. So I had to like turn off like, and so I can just listen to one sound at a time. You could go to the part of the song you want to listen to. It was really cool.
It is interesting.
I forgot to bring that up at first. By the way, did you see on the Oscars, Jon Stewart was playing Wii Sports?
Yeah.
You know what I find interesting about that?
Hmm.
That they were playing Wii Sports in the theater it was introduced at.
That's true. That's kind of Waja.
Yeah. Just want to throw that out there. All right.
Well, the other game I was playing all weekend is another one of the games you got me, Lost Odyssey.
Yes. Which I'm glad you like, because we were going between either getting that or seen it. Which I know people will be like, what the hell? But we knew you would like seen it.
No, I'd enjoy seeing it.
I thought, like, well, you know, we can all play it and stuff. But I'm like, but the other games I got you Professor Layton, and I got you Cult's Up Saga.
Yeah, which I have not gotten into yet. I want to do that, you and I first.
But I mean, I'm like, those are so, they're games, but I feel like you should have like a new, like,
meaty game.
Show off your 360 kind of game.
Right.
So, like,
The other game I got too, I should mention, I haven't started yet, as Catherine got me Tony Hawk.
That's right. Which I wanted.
Wait, what's the subtitle? Not Project 8. It's the ninth one. I can't remember the subtitle. Proving Grounds.
Yeah,
skip my mind.
It's harder to remember.
Right. But so yeah.
I definitely want to try that too.
But so Lost Odyssey. I am about 6 hours in, and I love this game.
I want to say that I've been down on the game a little bit before, but I wasn't until I saw a video on Game Choice. I'm like, wait, this game might be cool. And Chris rented it. I watched him playing it, and it looks neat.
Love it. Now, it still has some of those pitfalls that I just think Japanese RPGs will never get rid of. For one, the cutscenes in the game, like the in-engine cutscenes even, are great. They're well-acted. They're well-animated. They look fantastic. But the game also has there's pre-rendered cutscenes, in-game cutscenes, and this third type of cutscene, which is I call cut-up scenes, because it is a cutscene, but it also has, like, you know, like not everything in the game is voice. So you have just the text box pop up, and you have to hit A to advance. You'll get cutscenes with those text boxes. And, like, so it's a cutscene that is, like, it's like the cutscene's going on. Are you following this? Let us know when you're ready for us to keep going. Okay. So, yeah, and then he said, you good? Okay, and then he said over here, you good? Like, and so the animations aren't very specific. Like, you have characters just constantly looping in their arm doing the same thing while they talk.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
It's like they just ran out of time or something and didn't want to finish these cutscenes. And it drives me nuts because everything else, like, the other cutscenes are so good. And it's not all to the same level.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, it even went from being a regular cutscene to one of these cut-up scenes. Like, it just stopped being good and went to being mediocre.
Cut-up scenes.
I'm going to try to coin that phrase.
I don't quite understand it. I need to see it.
I think you'll understand better when you see it. But that's frustrating. And just little things, too. That it seems like every JRPG does this where, like, the characters' running animations, they don't look like they're rooted to the ground. Like, their feet, even when their feet shouldn't be moving, are still sliding forward.
I will say, one thing that looked awkward was the running animation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It just looked kind of silly.
The walking animation looks fine. But yeah, like when they're running, you don't get the feeling that they're in the environment. It's like they're superimposed and they're just kind of sliding over while this animation plays.
Right.
But other than that, the game's battle system is really cool.
It has that ring system where...
Yeah, the way it works, I mean, at the beginning of your turn, you input all your character's moves. I believe the max party size is 5. I only have 3 right now.
This is like real turn-based. This is like Final Fantasy 1 through 3 turn-based.
Right. I input all my commands first, and then the enemy, I guess, does theirs. And based on everybody's speed ratings for either physical or magic attacks, it'll show me then the order that everything's going to happen.
Oh, this is definitely old school Final Fantasy. Yeah. This is pre active time battle. That's
right.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, and so when your characters go to attack, if you have a ring equipped on them, this kind of target ring appears on the thing you're attacking, and when you squeeze the R trigger, a second ring like kind of crunches into that one. It's kind of like the pitching mechanic in baseball games last year, where you got to release it when the two rings line up, and the closer you do it, the more of your ring's effect will be active. Like, some rings do more damage to organic enemies. Some rings could cause poison. So if it's bad, it's just a regular attack. If it's good, you have a low percentage of the benefit. If it's perfect, you get a higher percentage.
That's cool.
Also, it does the thing where some spells can take more than one turn to cast. Like, I have a spell called Prism that will attack every enemy and randomly deal one of the 4 elements of damage to each enemy. But it takes 2 turns. So I have to cast it, and then when it comes, like, I cast it, the guy gets passed over. At the next turn, I pick my attack commands for the other 2 characters. For him, I get either continue or quit to keep casting the spell. Because one thing, if a character does have a move like that they're charging and you see an enemy doing it, if you attack the enemy and hit them enough, you could actually move them back even a further turn.
Hmm.
So, like, you can delay people's spells.
Interesting.
Which gets to be a pain in the ass for you when your spells get delayed.
Right, but there's also some kind of complicated, like formation system where people in the back
right.
have, like, a whole defense.
Well,
there's, like, a separate HP bar.
There's this thing called the GC gauge. I forget exactly what it stands for. Basically, it's representative of you get your front and back, just like you always have in RPGs. The people in the front actually actively guard the people in the back. And as they get hit, the GC gauge goes down, and that's less defense for the people in the back. So typically what you do is you put, you know, your spellcasters in the back. And one cool thing is it's called auto input, where basically what you're doing is you're just holding down A, and it's just picking fight, attack, fight, attack, fight, attack, fight, attack. You can leave it on so that, like, if you're fighting menial enemies, you know, you just hold down A and you attack everything.
Right.
But you can set it so that it'll do that for the front row, but when you get to the back row, even if you're holding down A, it'll stop it once it gets to the back. So then you could go pick your spells and stuff for the back.
That's cool.
Which is nice. And then the way you learn skills in the game, which is cool, is there's 2 types of characters. There's mortals and immortals. Mortals are pretty standard. They just, as they level up, they get their new skill sets and new spells. And immortals learn new skill sets by either equipping an item that has the skill, and then as you gain SP, you go to permanently learning it. Or you can learn from a mortal. So let's, like, to start the game, you have Jansen, who's your mortal. He's kind of your magician slash thief, and he has black and white magic. You can set Keim, who's the main character in an immortal, to start learning black magic from Jansen. Every time you get SP, it goes towards that until you permanently learn black magic.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like having 2 different skill leveling systems in the game, depending on which type of character they are.
Are there a lot more mortals than immortals?
I don't know the final breakdown. Right now I have 2 immortals and 1 mortal.
Oh.
But, like, the second boss I fought had this spell that paralyzed the entire party, but I had an item that was an anti-paralysis ring. So what I had to do was I had to go back and grind a bit so that both of my immortals permanently learned the anti-paralysis skill, and then equipped it on my mortal, because the mortals can't learn the skills permanently off an item. So as long as he had it equipped and those 2 had it learned, suddenly my entire party was immune to paralysis.
That's cool.
And they also, going back to the rings, there's ring synthesis, where you get all these different components from monsters. You can make, you know, rings that cause poison, rings that hurt organics, rings that hurt beasts, rings that cause fire damage.
All right.
And you can re-equip in the middle of a fight.
Hmm.
And then, I mean, just some closing things. Like, I think the voice acting in the game is fantastic. Jansen is hysterical. Who is voiced by the guy who was the actor for Knuckles in Sonic Adventure 1. And he was also, I believe, Ranger number 4. No, 3 in Burning Rangers.
Yay.
And he hasn't, like, done anything for, like, 6 years, and he's doing this game.
This is the only podcast in the world where we would mention Burning Rangers twice.
Yeah. Jim Cummings is the narrator.
You think.
And one bone of contention a lot of people seem to have with this game is part of the whole thing is Keim is regaining his memories of the last 1,000 years.
Right.
And when you get one, it's literally you just stop the game and read a story. Like, literally, read a story. But they're really good stories, so I don't really mind it that much.
Right.
I thought that would be kind of boring, but they're really well written and interesting. Right. So, yeah, 6 hours in, and I love this game.
Yeah, you're 6 hours in. Good. But, yeah, I definitely I want to see you beat this game.
I want to see you beat it, too. I think we were talking
earlier. Besides maybe you know, an RPG that has Mario in the title, you have not beaten a JRPG.
I came damn close to Final Fantasy X, but, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you have not beaten one, so you got
to
do
so,
it.
And when I get done with the first disc, I'll give that to you, and you can start it if you want.
Yeah,
because
right.
It's four discs. Each disc is an achievement.
Yeah, I saw that. I got to beat Persona 3. I want to play this. I still have that Tales of game, Tales of the Abyss.
Yeah, you got that, like, your birthday 06,
I got it, like, Christmas 06. I want to play it. Speaking of, didn't they announce, they talked about new Tales of
Tales
game for
360.
What's it, Tales of Vesperia?
Vesperia, yeah.
I'm surprised I remember. I love it. I like those games. Those are fun games.
Yeah.
All right.
I played more Audio Surf and Warcraft this week, and playing, there's something else I played too on PSP. Oh, I think I talked about the MLB 08 demo. That was 2 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, well, we're already pretty far into the podcast. Why don't we get to the real quickly go over the game releases.
All right. So downloads. The Virtual Console saw two pretty good games. Ninja Gaiden 3, The Ancient Ship of Doom.
Nice.
And Phantasy Star 2, which I've played the beginning of. But, I mean, again, the Retronauts had a Phantasy Star podcast a few weeks ago. And from what they said, I wish I had played Phantasy Star 2 back in the day because it sounds like it was a pretty sweet experience.
I guess. I tried playing those older Phantasy Stars lately. I couldn't get into it. By the way, this Monday, one of the games was Kirby 64.
Well, I was going to save that all for...
I just want to say a game that you didn't know.
Yeah, I know. It is funny. I will have to check that out. Xbox Live Arcade, you can talk more. Yeah, this is a game you play too, I guess. It's N Plus.
Oh, yeah. I bought it.
You bought it. I was kind of surprised. You played it and bought it like instantly. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, they got me because you beat the tutorial. It's like, hey, if you buy the game, now you get an achievement. I was
and you keep going.
It's fun. It's like, you know, pure platforming. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot to say about it.
Right. The PSN saw Jet Moto 3.
They only made three of them, right?
Yeah, and as I recall, I didn't like the third one.
I don't know.
I think you're better off just to get the second one and unlock the tracks from the first one.
Oh, yeah. The second one was the best one.
Yeah. GameTap saw a game called Ball 7. I think it's Arkanoid. Blood Ties. Join Vicky Nelson and her vampire partner in this game based on the Canadian television series.
Nice.
And Largo Winch, Empire Under Threat. An adventure game where you play as a billionaire 26-year-old. Never
Empire
heard of that.
Empire Under Threat sounds familiar.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I don't remember that. Interesting. Oh, there's all that. All
right. What are the real game releases?
The real game releases are as follows. We got first up, Frontlines, Fuel of War.
There have been some impressive commercials for this.
Yeah, I downloaded the multiplayer demo since getting my 360 back. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard. I mean, it's very much Battlefield.
Okay.
It's made by the guys who made the Desert Combat mod for Battlefield 1942. That was very popular.
Right.
They got like bought by DICE and then like didn't like the corporate structure and then like rebroke off and made this.
Hmm.
I think that's what happened. I could be wrong.
Patapon. Right.
So yeah, $20. Really can't go wrong with that. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
Lost Via Domus comes out this week.
I
wouldn't mind renting that. I bet you it's not very long. Could be fun. Turning Point: Fall of Liberty. Oh my god, I played the demo for this. It was terrible. Absolutely awful.
I'd imagine
it was so mediocre. Lost Planet: Extreme Condition for the PS3. You could sort of play as Mega Man in the game.
Oh?
Well, because the guy from Dead Rising is an unlockable character.
Oh,
and
really?
And then you can get him in his Mega Man costume that was in Dead Rising.
Interesting.
Yeah. Naruto, Ninja Destiny for the DS.
Yeah, there are a lot of those Naruto games.
Yeah. The Sims 2, Free Time, of which you will have none if you're still buying these. Engage your Sims in a number of leisure activities and hobbies, from sports to car restoration to ballet to poetry.
Who cares?
The thing is, though, all those things, you're just clicking, like, you probably just click on a car and click restore and then watch your guy go, Destroy All Humans, Big Willy Unleashed for the Wii. Destroy All Humans was not a bad game.
Is this like the third one or just second? Okay, it's finally coming out. Whatever.
Sega Bass Fishing for the Wii.
Coming back.
Trigger Heart Excelica? Battle Legion for 360. Battle Legions of Enemy Ships in this arcade shooter that I dynamically adjusts your skill levels. Is this an XBLA release?
It looks like
the
it.
The 27th? Yeah. Heavenly Guardian for the PS2. Travel through fantastical environments and blast mythological creatures in this animated 2D shooter.
Whatever.
Agatha Christie, and then there was none for the Wii.
Oh, no. Then there were no sales.
Mazes of Fate DS.
I guess it's mazes, huh?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Recruit a band of adventurers and journey across the world of Akil to save humanity in this epic RPG.
Epic, eh?
Yeah. Arma Gold Edition. It's an armed assault. No, it comes with armored assault and Arma Queen's Gambit. It's kind of a hardcore military combat sim.
Okay.
REM 3, The Secret Library for PC and Mac. Sounds to me like it's a missed knockoff.
Okay.
It's even about brothers.
Uh-oh. Well, sounds like a riveting week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the 4-on-1, 4-on-1.
Okay.
What's the top 10 list this week?
I don't think there was one.
No.
I looked. I didn't see one this week.
It's probably just down there.
No, it's not.
Let me see.
We got Angry Gaming. They tell you how to make porn stars.
The 10 most important franchises of the 90s. Missed it.
Well, let me finish my sentence. If you want to learn how to make porn stars in Soul Calibur 3, go read Damien's article on that.
Interesting.
Let me pull up the 10th. Well, here, while that loads, because we're on this, what is it, a cellular one air card. It's slow as balls. The Game Plan talks the greatest video game villains ever, part one, following up his hero series. Talk about some Bowser battles in this one.
Did you talk about the different Bowser boss fights?
Yeah, we got the screenshot comparing the NES Bowser boss with the new Super Mario one.
Did you talk about the Mario World Bowser boss? That was my favorite.
I didn't get to read the whole article, sadly. We should probably read all these before we do this, huh?
Well, I haven't had internet, so that's my excuse.
Yeah.
Also, why there
isn't. You work in a computer lab.
Wasn't. Well, sometimes I have to work.
All right, so the 10th hour this week, we've got the 10 most important franchises of the 90s. Oh, this is interesting. So number 10 is Gran Turismo.
It's hard to argue. It might even be higher. I mean, it was a really high-selling franchise.
Yeah,
Gran Turismo,
we don't like it, but yeah.
What, 3 is the highest-selling PS2 game, you know?
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Huh. Interesting. Number 9.
That's actually post-90s when I think about it.
Yeah. Number 9 is Resident Evil.
Yeah, that was an important franchise for the 90s.
Yeah.
I think I have an idea what number 1. What
Castlevania
would be high.
Is number 8.
This is when it was still kind of important.
Right. Then Mega Man, number 7.
Yeah, still important in the 90s.
Number 6 is Final Fantasy.
Yeah, 7 was huge then.
Number 5 is Street Fighter.
Street Fighter 2.
Number 4, Pokemon.
Yeah, 1998.
That pretty much ruled the end of the 90s. Number 3 is Legend of Zelda. 98 was Ocarina.
And, you know, before that we even had.
Yeah, the Link to the Past. Number 2 is Sonic the Hedgehog. Good man.
Yeah, still good then.
And number 1, Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, because we had World and Mario 64 was huge enough.
Right.
To warrant. Yeah, I can't argue with anything on
honorable
this
mentions,
list.
Doom, Metroid, Warcraft, Crash Bandicoot, Star Fox, Kirby, Tomb Raider, and Tekken.
Yeah, franchises are right. There may be individual games that deserve to be on there, but maybe not as franchises.
Right.
Like Myst, for example, was a huge game.
Right, but the franchise itself, not as important as Myst itself.
Right.
So let's see what else. On Fact or Fiction this week, they talk about big releases of 08, paying for Wii Online. Did you hear about that? I hope that doesn't happen.
I heard about it, yeah.
Microsoft's restrictions. It was probably about the UT mod thing. The superior PS3 games that follow, and more.
All right.
We talk Nintendo's Gaming Legacy Part 1 with Jacob Lopez. I think that's it. Yeah, because like, the next thing on the list is like us.
Right. All right, then. Well, I guess that's it for this show.
Yeah, I don't know. We're clocking in like right at the hour mark.
Well, yeah, but we started a little early with silliness.
Yeah.
It'll be around there. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can, of course, find us on 411mania.com/games. Or on our blog at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. I'm here every week, usually.
Yep.
Even when my internet will not work, we'll find a way.
Hopefully they fix that. I hate Armstrong. It always breaks.
Yeah. I didn't like your attitude with me yesterday, by the way.
Well, you said I predicted it. Did I not say Sunday? Like, are we going to record? You're like, yeah, yeah. And then we didn't.
Well, it was later than I thought. And I had homework.
It was 8 o'clock.
I had more homework than I thought. What do you want me to do?
All right. Whatever.
All right. Maybe once I start getting paid for this, then I can start worrying about it over school.
Yeah. You could send PayPal donations. Right. Okay,
well,
never mind.
Let's start wrapping up because I hear my mom calling.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.